We worship you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your love, for your compassion, for your understanding. We thank you for your blood. Jesus, we thank you that we have been reconciled to you, Lord. We are God's elect through you, Jesus, and joint heirs with you. So we praise you, O God. We worship you. We praise you. We glorify your name. You are holy and you are worthy, Jesus. And you give us 66 love books to teach us to have our minds and our thoughts renewed in you, Lord. And we give you everlasting praise, everlasting glory. No emotionalism, Lord. No emotionalism. No good sermons, Lord. Nothing to tickle our fancy, Lord. Nothing to motivate us or to pump us up emotional-wise, Lord, but true, holy, undefiled word, Father, that teaches us how to walk out of our filth. Anybody can preach a good sermon, Lord. Anybody can motivate a crowd. Anybody can motivate a crowd. Anybody can. We want to be taught by the Holy Spirit words that will show us how to love you more, how to come out of the filth that we walk in. That's what we're after, Lord, to know you in truth. We praise you. We thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. You'd be surprised, really, how the church really is. And you see it, you hear it so much. Guys, bear with me now. Shh. How good sermons are a dime a dozen, aren't they, Alex? Everybody can preach good and motivate a crowd. Anybody can preach good. Ah, God loves you. Ah, you know. And then you get those that articulate very well. And then you get dummies like me that can't even talk English. That stutter real bad. But one thing that I've incorporated in my life, and not many swallow and receive what we preach, or not many do. Very few do. But I rejoice in that because very few receive the words of Jesus. Are we different? No. We're not different. Are we better? No. No. But see, I want to be taught how to come out of the stuff that I'm in. I don't want a preacher telling me how bad I am. I don't want a preacher building me up with hype. I want to be taught by the Holy Spirit, God here on earth. That's why some of the stuff that I've been teaching has been real good. It's been real good. We used to have one of the biggest youth groups in town, 150, 160 people. And I never had peace with it. I never rejoiced in the fact that we used to have 160 kids in here. That never made me happy. It never moved me. You've never heard Renee's been with me the longest than anybody. Renee's never heard me brag about, well, we got the biggest youth group in town. I was never at peace with it. I was never at peace with it. But now we got 10, 15 kids that are hungry, or young adults that are hungry. That tickles me pink. Knowing that we have no emotionalism here, knowing that we don't bring you in with food, knowing that we don't bring you in with hype, but that all we can give you is something that will change you forever so that me and you can go into society and change it. That's unheard of nowadays. It's completely unheard of. Most people think righteousness or integrity, really now you gotta, and I'm gonna teach you something, I'm not gonna be long. You know, I don't preach very long. We're usually out of here by 8, 10, 8, 15. I won't keep you long, I promise. This is righteousness now in the church. A good song plays. We lift up our hands and we cry. That's not loving Jesus. That's a form of expression of how we feel to our King, but that doesn't bring mortification. That doesn't bring change. I know a lot of people that have worshiped God in an awesome manner that aren't here with us anymore. I've heard it been said that God blesses a worshiper. There's only one problem with that. That's not in the scripture. God blesses a man or woman that walks with integrity. See, it's easy to give you an impression that I'm doing good here. That's real easy. I can lift up my hands real high. I can cry a little bit. I can show emotionalism, and I can show you, and I can convince you that my walk with Jesus Christ is fine. But what about when I go out there? I can post real good on Facebook and convince you that I'm fine, and you won't know the difference. I can post real good on Facebook and convince you that I'm fine. How do you know? Because the world does it. The norm has become in the body of Christ. I'm not speaking to anybody in general. I'm talking about corporately, the corporate body of Christ throughout the world. The norm, not in the body of Christ, not in the kingdom of God, but the norm in the church. The normal things in the church are, I can wake up with a hangover and I can quote scripture on Facebook. The norm is I can do whatever the world does. And there's nothing wrong with quoting the scripture. Praise God that God's word's being sent out. Praise God. The norm is, and this isn't against anybody, because I got two daughters that have made mistakes in life. The norm is that I can habitually act like the world, and I can habitually post about the goodness of God. That has become the norm in the church. You expect that from society. But you know what the norm is in the kingdom of God? It's not even the norm, it's a lifestyle. Abstinence is the norm in the church. Integrity is the kingdom of God. Righteousness, forgiveness, integrity, living right is the norm in the body of Christ. Not anymore. That's why we have to. Something's got to change. There's 20,000 different churches and denominations. 20,000 different beliefs. Who's right? Who's right? 20,000 different minds. One Bible. Listen to this. 20,000 different million beliefs. But yet you got one Bible, one God, one Jesus, one Holy Spirit. Who's right? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is right. Walking with integrity is the kingdom of God. Walking with clean hands from A to Z, that is the kingdom of God. Living right in the eyes of God, that's the norm in God's kingdom. And again, I'm not pointing fingers at anybody here, but I'm just saying, what the church is living in, the modern day church, that's not the norm, man. That's not the norm. That's not the normal way to live a Christian, Holy Ghost filled, Holy Ghost led life. We're not called to perfection, we're called to holiness. I'm preaching a holiness message. That's why nobody wants what we say we have. Nobody wants what we say we have. Nobody wants it. They laugh it. They scorn it. We can sound real impressive. We can quote real, we can articulate in an impressive manner. I can write 2 or 3, 4 pages on Facebook. It's done all the time. 2 or 3, 4 pages of teaching to you. And we're so quick to exalt and put that person that articulated well on a pedestal. Listen, you know what man of God or what woman of God I want to follow? The one that I know that's in a trial, that's in a tribulation, one that I know that is on Satan's hit list, yet I know they are, but their conduct in God tells me different. I want to serve under a man or woman of God that isn't moved and shaken by the dictates of society. I want to serve under a woman or man of God that walks according to integrity, even when every single devil in hell is encamped around him. I don't want emotionalism. I love worship. Don't get me wrong. I love worship. But true worship is created from your priesthood. True worship is when me and you offer up, God, I worship you. I praise you. No emotionalism. No, I don't need anybody to kickstart me into the presence of the Almighty God. That's created by me. You won't hear that statement from most preachers, but it doesn't matter. Because I know the junk I come out of. I know the filth and the perversion that I come out of. And I know what I've been taught. What I've been taught by my mentors and fathers in the faith. I know what I've been taught has took me from that. I know the power of the born again spirit. I know the power of what happened to me 23 years ago. Emotionalism could not have took me out of the filth that I was in. I was so caught up in perversion, being born again, that I wanted out. I said, there's got to be more that's struggling in this walk with Jesus Christ. There's got to be more. If there's not more, I'm leaving a defeated life as a Christian. If there's not more in this walk with Christ, I want out of this, Alex. There's got to be more in this walk, in this journey with Jesus Christ than what I knew of 23 years ago. There's got to be more. That's why some give their life to Jesus. 6 months later, they fall away. In essence, they never gave Jesus a chance. They never gave the Holy Spirit a chance. Do you think that the desire to sin automatically goes away when you give your life to Jesus? The desire to sin doesn't go away, but the power and dominion that sin has over you goes away. The desire is always going to knock. It's always going to knock. The day you get born again, the desire to do wrong, it doesn't go away. But something in you now goes off that tells me and you, you can't do this anymore. You can't say this anymore. This is how you live. That's why there's failure in the body of Christ. Because we tend to do what we what? Feel. If I'm a Christian, I'm born again. I have a new spirit. I know to do right now. But then when I know to do right, temptation comes knocking. Out of where? Out of your spirit? No. Leftover residue in your flesh. And why there's failure in the body of Christ? Because the feeling to do what's wrong outweighs the instruction from within. It says no. So then if I feel it and it consumes my thought process, then I must what? If I feel to do wrong, but I know to do right within my spirit, but the feeling to do wrong far, it seems to overpower the part in me that says not to do it. If I feel it, then I must what? Then I must do it. That's why there's failure. That's why you blame emotionalism, because basically the body of Christ is doing what they feel. When I went blind, my friends, 10% vision in my eyes. At first, the first week, I felt sorry for myself. I felt sorry for myself. But when I went blind, I could either sit there and whine like a little baby or get on with it. So I decided. I worked 8 hours a day. They gave me 3 months leave. They were so kind to me, said, you got 3 months leave. Your job is guaranteed when you come back home, or you're not going to be fired. 3 months, take care of yourself. Okay. With pay? With pay. Okay. Full pay? Full pay. And it don't count against your vacation? Yes. Yeah, okay. Yeah, amen. First week, I felt sorry for myself, Malene. I felt sorry for myself. Oh, my wife, her beautiful face, my boys, my daughters, my, oh, I'll never see their face again. Then I said to myself, I work 8 hours a day. I'm going to commit to 5 to 7 hours a day with Jesus Christ in prayer. 5 to 7 hours a day. It was easy. It wasn't hard. 5 to 7 hours a day. I figured if I can whine and complain for a week, what's 5 or 7 hours of edifying my spirit, of changing my thought process? Did it work? I can see. Did it work? I can see. And it wasn't through emotionalism, because many days, Alex, I didn't feel nothing. I didn't feel the Holy Spirit working in me. I didn't feel those, you know, that crazy tongues that comes out of people sometimes when they get emotional. And I'm not mocking tongues. I'm not mocking tongues at all, because I pray in tongues every single day for hours a day. Emotionalism. I would read the passages, Alex, and wouldn't feel nothing. I would say, I love you, Jesus. I worship you. And I felt nothing. I felt nothing. But then I would get twinkles of heaven, or a hope would come up in me. And I would begin to laugh. I'd begin to laugh, knowing that everything was going to be all right. Has it been a fight? Yeah, it's a fight every day. Satan comes. He wants my vision. He ain't going to get it. Because if those 5 or 7 hours sustain me, they'll sustain me again. And again, and again, and again, and again. Emotionalism didn't see me through. Emotionalism didn't see me through the perversion that I walked in 20-something years ago. It didn't see me through that. It took God's holy, undefiled word. It took the edification of the Holy Spirit. I even fasted back then. Hadn't fasted in a while. Extended fast. It took that to bring me to the place where I am today. Have you been perfect? No, sir, no, ma'am. But you didn't know me before. So let's kick emotionalism out the door. Let's go to some real truth now. Give me about 15 minutes. Let me give you some real, real truth. I'm here to help you come out of your mess. I'm here to help you come out of your stronghold. I'm here to help you come out of your defeat, because he's here to help me come out of what I'm here to help you with. Are you with me? I'm here to help you how he helps me. I can't help you no other way than how he helps me. I'm not smart. My IQ's not very high, but I got the teacher of teachers that lives inside of me, and his name is the Holy Spirit. That's all I need. I'm a successful businessman, not because I'm smart, but because I got the teacher of teachers that lives inside of me. 99% of every deal that a proposal that I give to a customer, I get every single time. Not because I'm smart, but because I got the smartest person in the world that lives inside of me. And his name is the Holy Spirit. Me and myself, with my own intellect, nothing. Nothing. But I am very confident when I go see a customer that I'm going to get that deal, not because of what I know, but because of what he brings to the table, he being the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, my friends, if you can grasp what's being taught, and I'm going to say this, and it might be a little boisterous, I might be bragging a little bit, but if you can grasp what's taught here on Sunday morning, Wednesdays, and Sunday nights, you will never be the same. Being a virgin, a recycled virgin, will be easy, man and woman. Being free from perversion, it can be a way of life if you want it. Being free can be a way of life if you want it. And it's not going to be through emotionalism. It's going to be through God's holy, undefiled word that's purer than the purest of gold. If you want it. If you don't want it, this is not the place for you. This is not the place. That's why not many people come here, because nobody wants to hear that the blame falls on us. The devil gets way too much blame. Way too much blame. Our worst enemy is ourselves. That's why we're given tools and instruction on how to defeat that worst enemy in our life. Listen to this real quick. Listen to this. I won't keep you long, I promise, because there's a football game tonight. I'm just playing. I don't. How many of you are born again? Raise your hand. Okay. This is for you. Listen to this real quick. I'm not going to keep it long. You're born again, Holy Ghost filled. God lives in you. This is for you. This is for me. This is for my wife. This is for my pastor. This is for Reuben, the elder of our church. This is for you. Listen to this. Let me find the spot where I was at. But now you yourselves, Colossians 3:8. But now you yourselves are to put off all these. Listen to this. He's talking to a born again believer. But now you yourselves are to put off all these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. This is what the writer, this is what Paul says to the church in Colossae. He said, but now you yourselves are to put off all these, put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of whose mouth? Out of our mouth. So I'm to put off these things out of my mouth. Whose mouth? Reuben's mouth? Or your mouth? Or my mouth? He's talking to me and you on an individual basis here. He said, but you yourself, you born again believer, these are the things that you are to put off. I repeat them again. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy. Filthy language out of your mouth. Listen to this. Do not lie to one another. Since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Do not lie to one another since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Before you were born again, what kind of nature did you have or what? A sinful nature. When you sinned, when I sinned, it didn't what? It didn't faze us because the old man was alive and kicking inside of me and you. Now I'm going to teach you real quick. I'm not going to keep you long. I promise. The power of reading the right book. This book, if you consume it, will renew your mind. Let's say you don't read it. Let's say you're not a Christian. Let's say, how many of you sinned well when you weren't born again? Oh, I sinned good. I could have been a revivalist back then in the ways of Satan. I sinned real good. You know why? Because I read a book. A book entertained me. The ways of this book consume me. The ways of this book dispense the content of that book into my soul. The content of the book that I read dispensed its context into my spirit. The perversion of the book that I read consumed me. And since it consumed me and I consumed the context of it, junk in, junk out. What book did you read? I read the book of society. I studied society. I danced with society. I entertained society. I entertained darkness. So the darkness in me, what? It grew. The desires, the sin, the lust, the passion, they grew in me. They intensified. Why? Because the book that I read was perversion. It's not a literal book, my friends. It's a figure of speech. So what I spent the time with the most, I became what I entertained. That's why I was the pervert of all perverts. And don't delete that, Miss Candy, when you edit it because I want the world to know what I used to be. But then I met this man named Jesus. So I walked according to the filth that I put in me. If that's true, then I have hope. If you walked according to the filth that you put in you, then we have hope. We take a positive out of a negative. The reason I walk with so much perversion is because I spent so much time with perversion. And it was so easy for me to do what lived inside of me, which was perversion. I had an old man inside of me. I had a sinful nature. When I did wrong, it didn't faze me because I was doing according to the instruction of the old man that was in me. When I say old man, I'm not talking about my dad. I'm talking about the sinful nature that lived inside of me. When I did wrong, Malene, it didn't faze me because I was doing what was what? Inside of me. I was doing, living according to the voice, according to the passions and lust that were inside of me, because I entertained the world well and it entertained me well. I used to love the Two Live Crew. Y'all know what the Two Live Crew is? Oh, I used to love the Two Live. Oh, some of the most pastor perverted songs in the world that demean women to a T. So it's no coincidence that the way the song demeaned women, guess who also wanted to demean women? Because that lust, that instruction from that music, from that book, was in me. And the old sinful nature that I had, it just consumed it. And if I downloaded it to all of me, to my spirit man, to my soul, which consists of my mind, my will, my intellect, and my emotion, if I downloaded it, then it had to what? Come out. The old man, the sinful nature, dispensed perversion. He dispensed out of my heart came perversion. And there was nothing to oppose it. So it came out, so I walked in it, as you did too when you were not born again. So you get born again, that old man, that sin nature is put to what? Death. You've been born again, born from above. You've been born again. That man that dispensed unrighteousness, he's put to death. But according to God's word, he's put to death with his passions. Do you feel sometimes that the things you're not to do have gone away from you? Or do you feel like they're consuming you at times? Go ahead now, don't answer. You might give yourself away. That's why there's failure. Because the very things that the Bible says we're free from, they didn't go nowhere. Only the man that dispensed them out of us was put to death. But there's still some leftover residue in our flesh. It's still there. That's why there's failure. We know not to do wrong, but the desire inside of us seems to not want to go away, so we give ourselves over to things of the earth. Colossians says this. I'm here to help you, my friends. I'm not here to judge you. I am not here. There's not one person, look, before Almighty God, there's not one person in here that I am speaking to. Not one person. This is a sermon to the corporate, but whoever hears it, it's for me. Listen to what God's word says. Colossians 8, but now you yourselves are to put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man that dispensed sin out of our heart when we weren't born again. He's been put to death with his deeds. Now, verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, nor circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. 12, therefore, according to what we just read, as elect of God, holy, listen to this, if you're born again, I don't care what state you're in, I don't care if you're struggling with sin, I don't care if you don't feel righteous, my friend, you are righteous. Why? Because I say so? No, I have nothing to do with this, because the Bible says you're righteous. You might not feel it, but you are. Listen to this, therefore, as elect of God. You know what caused me and you to be the elect of God? The fact that we got born again and we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. He's talking to me and you. Listen to this now. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. Listen to this. Put on. What did it say in verse 9? To what? To put off wrath. To put off the deeds of the flesh. To put off the things of the earth. Now he changes it. You know what put off means? It means If you got a jacket, take it off. That's what it means in the Greek. Put it off. When he says put on, it means to get that jacket, that garment, pick it up and to put it on. You know why he told me to put it on? You know why he told me to put it off? You know why? Because I got the capacity to put it on, and I got the capacity to put it off. It's a choice, my friends. It's a choice. If he tells me to put it on, it's because, Homer, you're born again, son. This is the right thing to do. I know you can do it because this instruction lives inside of you. Put on love. Put on forgiveness. Put on mercy. Put on grace. Put it on. It's a decision me and you have to make daily. And in putting that on, I put something else off. See, I don't have to put off and put on. It's not two decisions. It's one. When I put on love, then I put off hate. When I put on forgiveness, then I put off unforgiveness. The old man with his passions, the one that dispensed fornication, the one that dispensed adultery, the one that dispensed the evil things of this world, he's put to death now, my friends. The old man doesn't exist. Now there's a new man that lives inside of me. This is what he brings to the table. The new man brings this to the table. Homer, as a beloved, elect of God. Now he's talking to me and you. Even I don't care if you feel like you're the worst sinner in the world. This instruction is for you, man. This is how much God loves you. He's not giving up on you, man. This is the instruction he has for me and you. As elect of God, Homer, put on the garment. Put on. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility. I'm almost done. Meekness, long-suffering, verse 13, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also. We're talking about two different men here. We talked about the old man, the one that we put perversion inside of our hearts. I'm 45 years old. I've been born again since I've been 22 years old. I gave my life to Jesus at 22, 23 years old. I cried for 3 days. I've never felt so much love in my life. So happy. I felt so free. Why? Because that old man was put to death. There was a new man now that lived inside of me. See, the old man dispensed out of my heart. Came out of my heart, do this, do that, and I did it. It's okay to watch pornography. He dispensed it out of me, that old man, it came out of me. It's okay to put Miller Lite in your 5-year-old daughter's bottle and let her drink it and let her walk around getting drunk. It's okay to put enough cocaine in your nose to kill a horse. That's okay. That's all I knew was sin. I didn't know nothing else. The old man inside of me, that sin nature, he was strong. He had a whole bunch of Cobra in him. He had a whole bunch of Snoop Dogg in him. He had all that in him. And he was strong. He was strong and he was powerful. He was my daddy. Led by Satan, he was my daddy. But this is how powerful. A few committed words are. I got tired of my lifestyle, got on my knees and my back. I said, Jesus Christ, you are the Son of God. Come into my heart. Immediately that sin man was put to death. There was a new man alive in me. The old man said, it's okay to do this, and I obeyed him. It's okay to do this, and I obeyed him. The same way the old man taught me and dispensed instruction to me, so does the new man. And I told you, and I'm 3/4 of the way there, I told you that I was good at sin. You told me you were good at sin because I read the book of perversion. Because I entertained the world and the world entertained me. And the desire to do the things of the world were so strong in me because I spent so much time in the world. If that's true, then me and you have hope, don't we? If me spending time with the world allowed me and gave me more want to be like the world, then I have a chance. Why do you say that? Well, if I read the book of perversion, which was society, if I hung out with society and I became strong in perversion because I read the book of perversion, then I have hope. See, the old man, when I wasn't born again, he dispensed sin out of me. He was my daddy. I said, Jesus, you are the Son of God. Come into my heart. There was death and a resurrection all in one day. The old man was put to death and a new man was created in me. The new man, he didn't dispense perversion. He dispensed love. The new man told me to put on love. The old man told me to put on forgiveness, put on that garment of forgiveness. The new man told me to walk in humility. The new man said, don't walk in adultery. The new man said, don't walk in fornication. The new man said, put on the things of God. Put on the things of the kingdom. Do what's right. Win, Holy Spirit, every time. The new man is my instructor now, the place where the Holy Spirit lives. The new man, my spirit man that's renewed, he is my daddy now, where the Holy Spirit, that's the unction, that's the place, the spiritual command center that me and you live out of. That's the place where the Holy Spirit lives and instructs us daily. Basically, when we know to do right and we do wrong, at that moment, if you knew to do right, your new man said to you, put on love. If you knew to do right in that instance, the new man said, walk in forgiveness. Put it on, Homer. This is the thing, while there's failure, even if we know to do right when we're born again, something still wants to resist what's right. And that's the things of the flesh. Let me tell you what, then it gets easier and easier to combat what you know is right with what we know is wrong. We don't have to force ourselves to do right every time as Christians. If you do what we're taught, that part of you that wants to dominate, the part of you that says yes or don't do it, that part of you can be put to death. That's what isn't taught. That's what is not taught. You don't have to put up with that part of you that dominates you all the time. That desire, that lust, you can on purpose put it to death. You can on purpose change the way that me and you think. You shouldn't struggle with the same thing today that you did a year ago, my friends. If you're struggling with the same thing, then you're doing nothing about it in the spirit. You have been set free. I have been set free. There's a new man inside of you. You want to be strong. You want to be what this Bible says that you can be. What made me a pervert? What made me the perverts of all perverts? What made you a pervert? You read the book of society. You read the book of the world. That entertained you. You entertained it. And that talked you into being the nastiest sinner in the world from A to Z. A book taught you that. Society taught you. If that's the case, then I got hope because I got a book now. Are you with me? I got a book now. I had a book back then when I wasn't born again that talked me into being a sinner. Now I got a book that can talk me in and change my thought process to go along with the very thing inside of me that says to do right. See, I don't have to live in torment. I don't have to sit in the back of a little white church crying because I want to do right, but I'm so tormented. I can change the part of me. You can change the part of you that wants to oppose what's right. At first, we can do it willfully by sheer Yes, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to put on love. I'm going to do what's right. That's commendable. That's commendable. But there's a place in God that if me and you choose to abide in him, well, let me rephrase, if me and you choose to spend time with him, well, those desires will be put, they'll be mortified. You won't even feel them anymore. It'll be so easier now to overcome the thing that you know is wrong or right. It's a decision you have to make. The new man brings to the table righteousness, love, mercy, self-control. He brings that to the table. And he dispenses it out of me and you, for me and you to live by what he dispenses, which is the word of God, which is the commandment of God. 1 Peter is the incorruptible seed. James is the engrafted word. 1 John is the unction. He dispenses the word of God out of me and you, for me and you to live by it. But when he dispenses it out, there's opposition in our flesh that opposes the very thing that we know is right. And really what we feel is just an emotion. It's just an emotion. I'll give you this. It's a strong emotion, but it can be turned by renewing your spiritual mind. If me walking in sin was caused by my own desire, but it was held by the outside, by society, by what society had to offer, I was consumed with the music. I was consumed with magazines. I was consumed with videos. I was consumed with this, and I became a pervert, man. But then I gave my life to this one man named Jesus Christ. The old man was put to death, and a new man was created in me according to the image of God. And I had a new manual. I had a Bible that can teach me and talk me into, and I can download these thoughts into my soul, my mind, my will, my intellect, and my emotion. I could download all this along with the part of me that was already crying out righteousness. Now the part that opposed me, I can talk it into not doing the things that it wanted to do with God's word. Don't read God's word till you memorize it. I heard a friend of mine, and this stuck with me. Matt Richards said, you got to read God's word till it's abundance in you. And it stuck with me. Don't read it till you memorize it here. We don't operate out of our natural mind. Well, no, Christians don't have natural mind. We don't have carnal minds. Let me erase that statement. Don't read it till you memorize it. Read it till you feel it working in you, man. There's a place in him, I'm telling you, that you can find where the very thing that's tormenting you right now, through what we're taught, through praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in tongues, it's the only prayer in the New Testament. I don't care what your pastor says. I don't care what your grandmama says. I don't care what your great, I don't care what they say. There's not another prayer in the New Testament that guarantees you edification, exhortation, and comfort. Find it, and I'll give you $100 of Monopoly money. There's not, I don't care what you say. I don't care how religious what I just said sounds to you. I don't care. I don't care if you get mad. I don't care if you tell your preacher and he says I'm crazy. Find it. It guarantees me, according to 1 Corinthians 14, edification, exhortation, and comfort. Now, the way I read the Bible, it's not my doctrine. I mean, it's not taught in the Bible. But I found out, because the church has been reading the Bible the same way for 2,000 years, and we got it wrong. I don't preach anything to you that I don't go over 50 times. I just don't. Because one day I'll be held accountable for every word that I spoke to you. And I want to make sure that I got it right. It's time to change the part of us that opposes what's right, man. You don't have to live your whole life being dominated by an emotion. You don't have to be dominated by that. Holy Ghost filled, born again Christians are dominated by emotion. If I feel it, I must do it, because this feeling seems to consume me. Well, get rid of the feeling that seems to consume you. Wouldn't that be the answer? But no, it takes sometimes a little time and effort. It takes sit-down time with Jesus. It takes a little time on your knees worshiping the Lord. It takes time by yourself praying in the Spirit and getting rid of the part of you, the feeling that opposes what's right. Nobody wants to hear that. Nobody wants to hear that our greatest opponent in our life is our emotions. It's time to change our emotions. It's time to change them. How? By the Holy Spirit. By God's word. By lifting up our hands and worshiping Jesus. By confessing God's word. By fasting. By the things that deal with me and you. Satan is not the problem. He is to an extent. Satan is the problem, my friends. But he can't control you unless he has an investment in you. It's time to get rid of the investments. And they're not going to go away by... You know, most tears that are shed in the altar are because... How can I phrase it? I mean, yes, I've cried before feeling the Holy Ghost. I'd be lying about that. But most tears that are shed at the altar by people are almost tears of feeling sorry for themselves, or tears of, God, I keep missing the mark. If you learn how to worship God out of your very own priesthood at home, just Father, with no emotion. Listen, let me tell you something. If you can worship Him for an extended time with no emotion, you'll overcome sin easy, because you went through a dry time of telling Jesus how much you loved Him. I'm telling you, there's a place. That's why I purposely, and I do at times, if there's certain songs that I like, I'll show a little bit of emotion. My worship is, I'm very particular about my worship. I don't like hearing songs about God. I like hearing songs to God. I don't like hearing songs about a river or this and that. That's just me. Am I right? No. That's just my preference. I like hearing songs like, I love to worship you. Plain and simple songs about Him. Am I right? No. That's my preference. My pastor likes his songs. I like my songs. My songs are better anyway. That's just the way I am. I like sitting down when I worship God. If my pastor says stand up, I'll stand up because I'm in submission to Him. If he says you can sit or stand, I'm going to sit because he gave me a choice. But if he says stand, I stand. He's my mentor and father in the faith. That's what people do that are Christians. We submit to those over us in God. That's just plain and simple. When he talks a lot to me about God, I don't interrupt. He's more anointed than I am. When you're with a person that knows more than you, be quiet. Let him talk. They know more than you do. Don't be dumb. No, be quiet. He knows more than you. Listen to him. If you knew as much as you think, you'd be the pastor. You're a sheep. Be quiet. Listen. Seriously. We would incorporate that. We'd be a lot better off in life. What we have is incredible. You don't have to live your life up and down and inconsistency, my friends. Do something about you. Do something about you. The new man inside of you is crying out, put on love, put on righteousness. Put it on, walk in it, do it. The old man has been put to death. If he's been put to death and you're born again, then me and you have no excuse. If righteousness comes out of our spirit, if you're born again, then if me and you sin, knowing what's right, just because we feel that we don't have to do what's right, that don't make it right. You're not excused, man. Jesus told an unregenerate woman that was caught in adultery, flat out caught in adultery in the very act. Though the adultery wasn't the issue of that text. He told a woman caught in adultery. This is where people say, well, I'm not dead enough yet. I'm not. No. Jesus told a woman caught in adultery, go. What? Did he say, go read 1 John 50 times that you're going to be all right? Then don't sin. No, what did he say? An unregenerate woman, though on the day would come, she'd be born again. Go. and sin no more. And I got news for people that, and I'm not taking up for anybody. In the Old Testament, the physical act of adultery was adultery. And it is still now, but guys, according to the teachings, women get pounded so much and judged so much. But do you know what adultery is according to New Testament teachings? Do you know what it is? Looking at a woman, man, and undressing her with your eyes and pretending to be with her. It doesn't have to be a physical act. It can be an act of the heart. According to the teachings of Jesus Christ, that's adultery. You know, there's a part that we can find, a transformation in him that we can find. We don't even have to struggle with that. But Pastor Romer, are you completely free from it? No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. But there are certain things that I don't do anymore. And I'm getting stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger because of him. The very part of me that used to oppose what was right is slowly but surely being mortified, being put to death. There's a new man that lives inside of me. And what comes out of my spirit is righteousness. It comes out of my spirit so that I can obey it. Do something about the part of you. Don't put up with it year in and year out, man. We'll never win society like that. We'll never win society. This is the thing about it. The majority, I'm done in 5 minutes. And my son Quentin said amen to that. I'm done in 5 minutes, I promise, cross my heart. I got a big heart, Pastor. This is the thing. We're so content. We, again, not looking at anybody here. We are so, and I get mad. That's why I hardly post on Facebook anymore. I get so mad at some of the stuff I read. Knowing the lifestyles that people are in. It's okay now. We're so set the body of Christ on. We can quote and give this presentation of Jesus Christ, and yet we can live like we want to. That is the norm in the body of Christ. Let me read this with you, and I'm done, I promise. I promise, I'm not lying. Let me read this to you real quick. I mean, you know, if you're born again, you got a new man living in you. Say amen. Amen. The old man has been put to death. Now you're to put on what's right. Listen to this real quick. Listen to this real quick, and I'm done. And I'm hungry, and the chicken sandwich is calling me. Listen to this real quick, and I'm just going to, Matthew 5, real quick. We're going to talk about, real quick, Matthew 5. Still the same context somewhat, Matthew 5. Well, let's go 5 and 15. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. Let's go to 14. You are the light of the world. You are the light of this world, he said to me and you. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Can you see that city? Can you see? Read it again. Hold on here. You are the light of the world. He's talking to me and you, believers. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. If the city has no light, it's on top of the hill at night. Can you see it? What gives that city light? Light. So you are the light of this world. We give light to the city. He said, you are 15, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. Is it the lamp itself that brought light to that situation? Or is it the fact that the lamp was lit? The lamp was lit. He said, you are that person. You are that differential. When you've been born again, people should see and note the difference in our words. Yes, somewhat. People should know who we are, not by what we say. Verse 15. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. 16, Let your light, prayer center for Mark, let your light so shine before who? Let your light so shine before men that they may, what? See your what? That they may hear you talk about your good work. Did it say that? Now, guys, don't get me wrong. We are to minister the life of Jesus Christ. We are to minister that Jesus is King. We're to minister that, absolutely. But we've lost our passion to do what's right. We think that with persuasive words and words of articulation that we can win society over. If that's the case, then society would be won. You know that Jesus didn't articulate very well? I mean, not because he didn't want to, but he ministered in the natural. But we try to sound so impressive nowadays. But the writer here said something that's not taught anymore. He said, let your light so shine before men that men, that they may see your good works. He's talking to me. He's giving me and you instruction. I'm done here. Let your light, let your good deeds, the things that you put on. He said, let your light so shine before men. Let the things that you do in the spirit, let men see them. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Notice what caused society to say, wow, that Barbara Fish, they're about to kill her for her faith. They put a knife to her throat. They took her daughters, her granddaughters, they were about to kill them. And they asked Barbara Fish to recant on her confession. They asked her to not preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this lady, Barbara, she's crazy. What happened? She looked steadfast into those that wanted to kill her. She stood her ground in this man named Jesus Christ. She stood her ground. And she looked at those that wanted to take her life. She looked at him eyeball to eyeball. She didn't curse. She even smiled when they put the knife to her throat. She said these crazy words like, Father, unto you I commit my spirit. She died with a smile on her face, talking about this man named Jesus Christ. If she died with that much peace, it might be to my best interest to find out who this man named Jesus Christ is. That is how we win society over to this man named Jesus Christ. Our good works are to be seen by a dark society. Not good speech, not articulation, but good works. We should be so different from society. So different. That is how society is won. When they behold the good that we do, even under pressure, that is when society says, my God, I want what Barbara has. I want what Alex says he has. I want this Jesus Christ that's preached at the Family Prayer Center. See, Barbara chose that day to put on love. She chose to operate and obey the voice of the inner man, of the new man that was in her. She chose to obey that and did according to what was right. That is what brings Jesus Christ glory. Well, Brother Homer, I did it because I'm not perfect. No, you did it because you chose it. That excuse is real old, man. It's been worn out. I did it because that wasn't me. No, it was you. It was you. The writer of Colossians said, don't let these words come out of your mouth. It was your dirty laundry. No, it was you. Hey, the devil made me do it. No. It was you. My wife used to make me mad years ago when I used to have these rages. She makes it make me so mad because he was taking off from me, but I would get mad because I knew enough that it was me. Honey, it wasn't you. Shut up. It was me. Don't tell me it wasn't me. Don't quit taking up for me. It was me. I got the capacity to say it and do it. No, my friends, it's you. The excuse, I'm not perfect, that's old and worn out. It's old and worn out. My friends, by our conduct, by the works that we perform, mercy, the forgiveness, by the things that we do in God, by putting on what's right, people will know that we are God's. They will not, by waking up with a hangover on Saturday and quoting scripture on Sunday about on Facebook about how faithful God is and how good he is and how holy. No. I'm speaking to myself too. No. 1 Peter says, be holy as I am holy. He's not looking for perfection. He's looking for individuals that walk holy, man. Clean vessels, clean women, clean men of the Most High God that are able to walk in love and authority and make a difference in this dark, nasty, perverted society. I've had to deal with some anger issues for the last year. Oh my God, I didn't even want to preach sometimes. Nobody beats himself up more than I do. Anger problems, man. Frustrated because of work. Didn't even want to preach anymore. But I bought a lie, you see, because I was doing something about it. I didn't like it, but I was doing something about it. There's a big difference in having an issue and doing something with it and having an issue not doing nothing with it. Let's deal with ourselves, my friends. Let's deal with ourselves. Alex has a prayer group every Tuesday, Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday, unless he's got a Five Links meeting. Me and Pastor Brown got to talk about that one. As he has a Five Links meeting. Come. By yourself at the house, under a tree, in the bathroom. Read your word. Pray in the Spirit. Dedicate 15, 20 minutes a day praying in the Spirit by yourself, dealing with your worst enemy. Who's your worst enemy? Yourself. Let's not live by words. Let's not present words with dirty hands. Let's present words with clean hands where God can come and anoint our words. And society can say, my God, that Reuben, that Homer, that Lupita, that Rosie, they're different. They're different. God's looking for different. He's looking for separation from the world. It's all up to me and you, my friends. It's all up to me and you. He's looking for clean, holy, young men, young women, old women that will say no to the things of this world and say yes to the inner man and say yes to what's right. Don't talk about it. Don't think about it. Just do it. And before Almighty God, again, I'm going to close with this, and I'm done in a minute. I swear to God to you today, my yea is yea. I'm preaching in a broad sense, because the devil will come immediately and work, say, oh, he's talking to you. He's judging me. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. I promise I'm not. Just put off things of the earth and put on the things from above, the fruits of the Spirit. Let's put on integrity. Let's put on holiness. Let's bring glory to our Father, which is in heaven, not by how we articulate. If you want to write and preach the gospel out of a good lifestyle, yes, that's what he wants. He definitely wants that. If you're going to write and present the gospel with dirty hands, no, that's not what he wants. It's a form of hypocrisy. He wants your hands clean. He wants you purging yourself. He wants my hands clean. He wants me to purge myself. He wants my works to be holy, not only in the midst of a dark society, but when nobody's looking. That's integrity. That's holiness. That's righteousness. And he's looking for, just like the army, he's looking for a few good men and women that would just say no. Enough is enough, Lord. I'm pressing into you. I choose to be different. I'm going to deal with those areas in my life that oppose you, Lord, that oppose what's right. The old man has been put to death. There's a new man living in you. Put on the instruction of the new man. When I say put on the instruction of the new man, do what's right. And in putting on, you put off what's wrong. Today's your day. I know I'm a little long today. I'm done. Don't put up with yourself no more. Homer, don't put up with Homer. Don't put up with Homer. It is never, ever anybody else's fault in life. I don't care what you've gone through. It is never, ever anybody else's fault. That's one revelation that I have gotten. I might be mad at you for 5 minutes, but I'll come back to terms with myself. It wasn't your fault, Alex. I'm the issue. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of what? His might. Be strong out of that rebirth. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. There's nothing that you can't overcome because you have been born again. Put on the instruction of God that lives within you. We are called to be different and in submission to one another. Like I submit to my pastor, I'm to submit to you because I'm one with Jesus. We're called to be grand ambassadors of Jesus Christ. Submitting to each other in the fear of the Lord. Come with me on this journey. Come with me on this journey. Pray in the Spirit countless minutes, countless hours. Pray in the Spirit. You won't find another prayer in the New Testament that guarantees you edification, exhortation, and comfort. You won't find it. It doesn't exist. If I can't find it, if I'm instructed how to be edified, exhorted, and comforted, then why wouldn't I want to be edified, exhorted, and comforted? Why wouldn't I want to be? Because religion has taught us different. Churches have flat out downgraded praying in tongues because they're ignorant of the scriptures. Ignorant in a good, anyway, I'm going to be quiet before I get myself in trouble. I can go off on people and I shouldn't. It's called a stronghold. I got to put on love. I got to put it on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Brother Quentin. See, my son, listen. 30 seconds more and I'm done, Quentin. I'm sorry. I still got growing to do because I still go on Facebook just to read ignorant spiritual posts so that I can entertain myself. Forgive me, I'm getting better though. I'm gonna put off that pride and just, before long, I'm probably just gonna forsake Facebook completely. I hardly post anymore. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people that post on there, gibberish. And when I see like on an ignorant post, leads me to believe that the preacher that was kind of ignorant posting that, ignorant in a good way, then the ones that liked his ignorant post, well, that sort of makes them ignorant. Be careful who you follow, friends. Just because it makes sense doesn't mean it's right. Just because it makes sense doesn't make it right. Satan makes sense a lot. Makes a lot of sense. He's smart to an extent, but in the end, he loses. Put on what's right. Put it on. Amen. I know I kept you a little longer tonight. I think I did. I just want you to make it, man. I want you to be different because he wants you to be different. Amen. Now, let's just come on up if you like. And I know we kept you long. Sit or stand. Let's just come worship the Lord and just give him some praise tonight before we go home. Worship you, Lord. We give you everlasting praise, glory, and honor, Jesus.